Hare Krishna. Welcome, everybody. Thanks for coming. Thursday's Srimad Bhagavatam class. Thanks for listening in or being here. Excuse me. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivada Dhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivada Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jananjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jananjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivada Dhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivada Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jananjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jananjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Prabhupada, 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 Jaya, Jaya, Prabhupada. Jaya, Jaya, Gurudev. Jagora Premanandi. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 24, Text Number 21. This title is in chapter, The Philosophy of Sankhya. Sankhya. Okay, we're text 21. Viran mayasya yamano. Viran mayasya yamano. Yadmano. Loka kalpa vikalpa kaha. Loka kalpa vikalpakaha. Pancha tadvaya visheshaya. Pancha tadvaya visheshaya. Kalpate bhuvaniha saha. Kalpate vunahe saha. Viran maya syadya mano. Loka kalpa vikalpaka. Pancha tatvaya visheshaya. Kalpate bhuvane saha. Please repeat. Virana Maishadamano. Oka kalpa vikalpaka. Panchatatvaya visheshaya. Kalpate bhuvane saha. Viran Maishadamano. Loka kalpa vikalpaka. Pancha tatvaya visheshaya. Kalpate bhuvane saha. Very nice, Sam. You're getting better. It was really good. Word for word, Virat, the universal form, Maya, by me, Asadyamanaha, being pervaded, Loka, of the planets, Kalpa, of repeated creation, maintenance and destruction, Vikalpaka, manifesting the variety. Panchatattvaya, the elemental manifestation of creation of the five elements. Visheshaya, in varieties. Kalpate, is capable of displaying. Bhuvanai, with the different planets. Saha, being endowed. Translation and purport by the followers of His Divine Grace, Śrīla A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki. Translation, I am the basis of the universal form, which displays endless variety through the repeated creation, maintenance, and destruction of the planetary systems. Originally containing within itself all planets in their dormant state, my universal form manifests the varieties of created existence by arranging the coordinated combination of the five elements. Purport, according to let's repeat it together. I am the basis of the universal form, which displays endless variety through the repeated creation, maintenance and destruction of the planetary systems. Originally containing within itself all planets in their dormant state, my universal form manifests the varieties of created existence by arranging the coordinated combination of the five elements. Translation again, I am the basis of the universal form, which displays, it's okay, I don't have to repeat, Sam. I am the basis of the universal form, which displays endless variety through the repeated creation, maintenance, and destruction of the planetary systems. Originally containing within itself all planets in their dormant state, my universal form manifests the varieties of created existence by arranging the coordinated combination of the five elements. Purport. According to Śrīla Śrīdhara Swami, the word Maya refers to the Lord in His form as eternal time. Very short purport. And typically we'd go to the next verse, but the next verse is a doozy, so I think we'll just do this one. Om Agena Chirandasya Jananjanan Salakaya Chakshuru and Militam Jaina Tasma Shri Gurvena Maha Shri Chaitanya Manobisham Shapitam Jaina Bhutale Swam Rupa Karamayam Tadanti Svapadantikam. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master is opening my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge for my humble obeisances under the dust of His lotus feet. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Tamal Krishna Goswami Niti Namane. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Sunyavari Pascha Tadisha Tarine. Vanchakalpa Tarubhasya Kripasanu Sevacha Patitanam Vavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Dvaita Gadadhar, Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we're continuing in the 11th canto, chapter 24, text 21, and we're hearing from Lord Krishna in His conversation to Uddhava, and the Lord is speaking about the universal form. He is the universal form. And He displays endless variety through repeated creation, maintenance, and destruction of the planetary systems. Originally containing within itself all planets in their dormant state, my universal form manifests the varieties of created existence by arranging the coordinated combination of the five elements. What do you think of when you look in the sky at night, Sam? Yeah, you see the moon and the stars. Is it pretty impressive, right? It's like pretty amazing, especially if you live somewhere where there's not so much light from the cities. You know, you can see the stars in their fullness, especially at the equator, they say. It's really amazing that you can see the endless variety of stars. And it's like, it's almost indescribable if you've ever seen it, right? Where you've been out in the dark woods or the country and you see the stars at night. They're endless. They almost form clouds, right? The stars are so densely packed. There's like clouds. You can see the clouds of the different galaxies that are surrounding us. And this surrounds us, right? I mean, it is packed, jam-packed with planets and stars and lights twinkling. And it's very, very beautiful and awe-inspiring, right? And so that's how we can think of Krishna. Krishna is this universal form. He is the universal form, and he is not at the same time, because the universal form is his material creation. But Krishna is completely spiritual. He's entirely spiritual. But he's so powerful, he can create a material energy as an inferior energy. It's his inferior energy. And he can set it up with planets and stars and the sun, and then let all the souls that want to enjoy separately from him, all those souls come into the universe and take up places. They take birth in bodies, many, many different kinds of bodies that Krishna created. Krishna creates everything. And he owns everything. Everything belongs to him because he's the creator, the maintainer, and then he destroys it. What are the agents of his creation, maintenance, and destruction, Sam? Do you know? Who are the agents? Who are the guys that carry out Krishna's instructions? Right. Wow. Very good. The demigods do this. The demigods carry out creation. Here's bonus. You already got 100, Sam. Now here's a bonus for next week. Who creates the universe for Krishna? Do you know? Right. Which one? Right. Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma. He makes the creation. He is empowered by Krishna to create the material universes. And Lord Vishnu, he maintains the material universes. And Lord Shiva, he does what, Sam?
Lord Shiva, he
washes
the planets.
He does what?
He washes the planets.
Washes them?
Watches
them. Yeah, in a sense, he watches over them. At the end of the universe, he's the demigod that destroys. He does a dance of destruction that destroys the universe. And this empowerment is very important because a lot of people get mixed up, right? They think, oh, the demigods have so much power. The demigods, Indra, king of heaven, he has power over water and can send and withhold rain. And other demigods, Vayu, the wind, Surya, the sun. And so sometimes people will worship the demigods to get benefits or boons, and because they want to be materially well off. But nothing can happen without the will of Krishna. And everything is his power and his energy and his property. Everything is his property. Our bodies are his property. The whole universe belongs to him. So we have a chance to use these bodies, right? Just like the demigods get bodies, they have to use their bodies in service to Krishna. When they do this, things are good, right? When we don't use our bodies in service to Krishna, what happens? It's sinful, right? We get karma. We get reactions. We get problems. And even if we're very, 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 very good, still problems come, right? That doesn't mean we give up being good, but we see that our problems are actually Krishna's mercy. They are Krishna's way of making us more Krishna conscious. They are Krishna's way of telling us, get out of this material world. This is not where you're meant to be. Chant my names, right? Who's the avatar? Who's Krishna's incarnation? Who does Krishna come as? And he tells us to chant Hare Krishna. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He says it's very simple. Just chant Hare Krishna and you can come back to me in this very lifetime. It sounds simple, and it is, but we complicate it. We make it complicated. Because we're born with so many desires, with so many past conditioning, so much past baggage, excess baggage, right? We don't need that excess baggage, right? When you travel, if you take too much stuff with you, what happens? You're going, gosh, why did I pack all this stuff? I don't need all these bags and extra things. Pack light. Pack lightly for a better trip. And the same is true for us. If we can get rid of our excess baggage in this lifetime, we can have so much more easy journey, an easier path back home, back to Godhead. We get rid of the excess garbage, the unwanted anartas, the sinful desires we have in our heart, the way we're conditioned to get angry or to want to enjoy in a certain way. And the only way that we can get rid of all that stuff is if we have a spiritual master, a guru, an advisor, and not just an advisor, teacher, but a bona fide advisor, right? We have to have a bona fide spiritual master. And that's the wonderful thing about what Srila Prabhupada did. One of the thousands of amazing details of what Srila Prabhupada did in coming here from India in 1965. What he did is unprecedented. And what he did is practically, there's no way we could thank him enough for what he did. Because he inaugurated the system in the rest of the world, which really wasn't working right, of guru and disciple, right? We see it in other religions, it's there, but what's left of it is kind of the broken down remnant, right? The Pope is the follower of Lord Jesus, and then there's successor popes, and that's sort of kind of like a disciplic succession, right? Sort of, kind of, not really. But we have an unbroken chain, a line, the Brahma, Madhva, Gaudiya, Sampradaya. And Srila Prabhupada brought that to the West. He brought it, took it outside of India and gave it to the rest of the world, said, follow these instructions, surrender to a bona fide spiritual master. And Srila Prabhupada made spiritual masters that we can surrender to now, that we can take advice from now, that we can learn from now. And not only the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, and those disciples who are bona fide gurus are good to learn from, but we need to hear from Srila Prabhupada too, right? We need to be constantly hearing from Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada's purports to the Bhagavad Gita, to hear Gita, to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, to hear what Srila Prabhupada has to say about his translations are very, very important. And the Srila Prabhupada brought this Sampradaya. He brought this movement from India. And it's not just about surrender. I mean, it's not just about having a bona fide spiritual master, but it's about following his instructions. Following the instructions of the spiritual master and actually meditating on the instructions of the spiritual master. And the instruction of the spiritual master is the same for everyone. There's four basic instructions. Do you know what those are, Sam? That every single disciple gets from Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada's grand disciples get them, and his great grand disciples get them, right? No meat, fish, or eggs. No gambling. No intoxication. No intercourse outside marriage. Everyday chant. 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra every day. Chant 16 rounds minimum. Minimum. You can do more, but if there's service to be done, do some service and chant your 16 rounds. But if you have time, chant more. On Ekadashi, chant more. We just finished Purushottam Mass, right? It was yesterday. Very holy time, very special time, very auspicious month that if you do your spiritual activities count even more. Everything counts more. Even your sinful activities? Uh-oh, yeah. So you're encouraged. Give up the mentality of sinfulness. Give up even the desire. The seeds of desire and unwanted behaviors are in our heart. But those seeds can be burned, right? You can take a flamethrower. You ever seen a flamethrower, Sam? It's big and it throws fire. It's terrifying. You know, think about it. If someone chasing you around a flame, you can take a flamethrower and you can put it on those seeds of sin and burn up the seeds. The seeds are burnt up so they do not fructify. They don't pop open and cause you problems. And the way that you have a flamethrower, you make that flame work on those seeds, is by chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You associate with devotees because birds of a feather flock together, right? I was walking over this morning. I knew I had to give class, and I was thinking, I'm so lucky because I live across the street from the temple. I live across the street from the temple. I mean, I still can't get over that. Every day, I'm grateful, I'm thankful, and I don't understand it. But I did get a realization today walking over. It's because I am such a neophyte. I need to come to the temple every day. I need to be reminded of Krishna constantly by getting in my car when I drive to work or going somewhere. Hey, there's the temple. I live at the temple. You know, I don't live somewhere else. I don't live somewhere where it's easier for me to have sense enjoyment, where it's easier for me to be peaceful and say, no, I'm away. I don't want to be in East Dallas. I don't want to be in a place that's less desirable materially if I could afford more. You know, oh, maybe I could live somewhere nicer. That'd be so much nicer. Oh, and it'd be better schools for my kid, better this, better that. But it's not better. There's no better place in the world to live than a place that's close to where you live that will remind you of Krishna. Now, I'm not saying that to criticize anybody that has to live further away, right? If you live further away, I just took it. My realization today was they must be more advanced devotees. If they can live further away, they're more advanced. So Krishna let me move real close because I'm not advanced. I need to see the temple every day. I need to see devotees every day to be reminded, because otherwise my wicked brain will take me far, far away mentally, right? Mentally. And then if the mental's not there, the physical's not going to be there, right? Where your mind goes, your body's going to follow. So I feel so fortunate to live close, to see devotees, to have interaction, and to be reminded, you are trying to be a devotee. Remember that. Keep trying. And so this process of chanting Hare Krishna and remembering Krishna, we started out talking about the universal form in the verse today. And this is one of the ways that you can remember Krishna, right? You can see the moon and the sun. That's Krishna's eyes, right? You can see the giant, beautiful form, the blackish sky. Oh, that's Krishna, right? That's like his back, you know, his blackish blue color. And so this is one of the early ways. This is one of the introductory ways, so to speak, that we can think of Krishna, that we can remember Krishna. But there are more advanced ways of remembering Krishna, right? And those are by chanting Krishna's names, by reading the books that Srila Prabhupada translated. And I wanted to talk about that because I read a couple things that I got online yesterday, and they were really amazing. I'm really fortunate. I get almost daily emails from different devotees, different gurus, and they send out little small things that come to them, that are on their minds, right? That occur to them, and then they share it with the group of whoever's in their mailing group, their email group. So I get things from His Holiness Giriraj Swami, and I get things from His Holiness Shivaram Swami, and from so many other devotees. And it's so nice to get these things and read them. And I got a little behind. I hadn't been reading so much. So I started to read a lot. And I just got, I got three amazing things. I printed them up and I thought, well, I could share these in class. And they're all applicable. But I wanted to read to you. And it's always nice to hear Srila Prabhupada's purport during a class. You know, when we read this part of the Bhagavatam, we hear from Srila Prabhupada's disciples and their purports, but it's always nice to hear from Srila Prabhupada's purports. And so this came to me yesterday and I want to share it. And, it's from the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's Canto 4, Chapter 24, Text 15. Yad uktaktam prati dristena girishena prasiddhata. Tadayanto chapantascha pujantascha samyataha. Translation. When all the sons of Prachini Barahi left home to execute austerities, they met Lord Shiva, who, out of great mercy, instructed them about the absolute truth. All the sons of Prachini Barahi meditated upon the instructions, chanting and worshiping them with great care and attention. So did you notice that part? They worshiped their instructions. So here's the purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is clear that to perform austerities or penances, or for that matter, any form of devotional service, one has to be guided by a spiritual master. Let me start again. This is the first sentence of the purport. It is clear that to perform austerities or penances, or for that matter, any form of devotional service, one has to be guided by a spiritual master. Here it is clearly stated that the 10 sons of Maharaj Prachini Barahi were favored by the appearance of Lord Shiva, who, out of great kindness, gave them instructions regarding the execution of austerities. Lord Shiva actually became the spiritual master of the 10 sons, and in turn his disciples took his words so seriously that simply by meditating upon his instructions, dayayantaha, they became perfect. This is the secret of success. After being initiated and receiving the orders of the spiritual master, the disciple should unhesitatingly think about the instructions or orders of the spiritual master and should not allow himself to be disturbed by anything else. This is also the verdict of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who, while explaining a verse of Bhagavad Gita, Vyashatmika Buddhir Ekaha Kuru Nandana, Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text 41, points out that the order of the spiritual master is the life substance of the disciple. The disciple should not consider whether he is going back home, back to Godhead. His first business should be to execute the order of his spiritual master. Thus, a disciple should always meditate on the order of the spiritual master. And that is perfectional meditation. Not only should he meditate upon that order, but he should find out the means by which he can perfectly worship and execute it. Wow. Not only should he meditate upon the order of the spiritual master, he should find out the means by which he can perfectly worship the instruction and execute the instruction. So there's so much here that resonated with me yesterday for my struggles in Krishna consciousness. And it was so amazing to get to read something like this. You know, when you come across something, it really inspires you. And it's emphasizing that we be guided by the spiritual master. And the spiritual master guides us by instructions. And following these instructions, not only it's the secret of success, obviously, but it goes deeper. We have to meditate on the instructions. And the sons of Maharaj Prachini Barahi, they, just by meditating on these instructions, they became perfect. After being initiated and receiving orders of the spiritual master, the disciples should unhesitatingly think about the instructions or orders of the spiritual master and should not allow himself to be disturbed by anything else. And this is an answer to devotees when they ask, why did Srila Prabhupada take so much time? After his spiritual master left the planet, he'd been given that instruction to come to the West. Many times he'd been given that instruction. Go to the West and preach. And this explains that Srila Prabhupada was meditating upon that order of his spiritual master. He was unhesitatingly thinking about it and considering and planning how to carry out that order. And that order is so monumental, right? Go to the West and spread Hare Krishna single-handedly, without money. Just go. That, for us, it sounds like, well, I get an instruction, I'm just supposed to do it, right? But look at me, I'm struggling with the most basic instructions, and I can't do it. And Srila Prabhupada was given the ultimate instruction, right? Save the whole universe. Take up my name, which was Prabhupada. Prabhupada, spiritual master, was named Prabhupada too. The one at whose feet spiritual masters sit. And Prabhupada inherited the estate. He inherited his father's legacy, his father's powers, his father's title. Everything. Srila Prabhupada was the son, the acharya, the next acharya in line after Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, to take up the instruction that Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur gave to so many disciples. He asked many of his disciples, can you go to the West and preach for me? They all said, no, Maharaj, Guru Maharaj, no, I have to be here at your lotus feet. I can't, no. They all demurred. They all said no in nice ways, right? Srila Prabhupada just was silent. So many times Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said, don't worry, I know you won't go, but Abhay Babu, he will go. Abhay Charanan Bhaktivedanta, he will go. And so he knew that Srila Prabhupada would carry out this order. And meditating upon the order of his spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada carried out that instruction. And it culminated with his arrival in the United States in 1965. And he began the Sankirtan movement in the United States. And it spread rapidly throughout the world. And it shook the very foundation of the whole universe. Because so many souls were crying out to Srila Prabhupada. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur came to Srila Prabhupada in a dream to encourage him. Remember, you have this job. I'm sending you to the West. Go soon. The souls there are crying out for you. They're crying out for you. So this explains it, because it's sometimes easy for someone like me to become critical. Why didn't Srila Prabhupada go sooner? Well, because he came when he did, because the time was right. And he had to get things ready. He needed his Bhagavatams. He needed to get those published. He wanted to bring those to the West. And he didn't know how long he was going to be here. He was already almost 70 years old when he came. So he knew he had a big job to do. And Krishna didn't just say, do this, do this, do that, do this, do this. Does he do that for us? No, he makes us do things. He makes us try to understand. You go forward and figure this out. And in doing that, you become more Krishna conscious. I don't tell you everything. Krishna doesn't give everything. Krishna doesn't appear to us just because we demand. He doesn't appear even though we call out to him, we cry to him. He begins to appear to us. He begins to reveal himself. And if we have a spiritual master, we come to the temple. Oh, we see the deities. Yes, this is Krishna. This is Krishna reciprocating with our desire. Krishna will reciprocate with your desire to know him and then to love him. And he'll even tell you how to do it through his disciples, through his followers, through the Brajbasis, through Srimati Radharani and her followers. Through the people, the devotees that have the most intimate love for Krishna, they train us in how to love Krishna. And then when they're trained and they tell Krishna, this person's ready, Krishna says, good, now this person's ready. If Radharani recommends you, you're in, right? You don't have anything else to worry about. How do we get Srimati Radharani's recommendation? We have to get the recommendation of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. No one goes to Radha and Krishna except through Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's what we have to do. We have to follow the instructions of Lord Chaitanya and spread the Sankirtan movement to the best of our abilities and chant Hare Krishna. So that was a little realization I had about Srila Prabhupada. That's the secret of his success. He meditated on the order of spiritual master. He couldn't carry it out right away. Boy, that could be tattooed on my forehead. Not carrying out the order of spiritual master just yet, but trying, right? But we're still trying. Our eyes are on the prize. We know we're going to, but we're working on it, right? It's an excuse, whatever it is. But we don't give up thinking about the instruction and remembering it and saying, I need to carry this out. And if you meditate upon that order, you can become perfect. And then you will worship it and then execute it. And so it's so amazing to think how we can do that. That's what Srila Prabhupada's example was, his life was, to follow in his footsteps. Not to imitate, but to follow. Follow the instructions. Follow the same, the exact same things that Srila Prabhupada was reading and understanding and knowing and using to become who he was, to do his service. He wants us to do that. So we have to read his books if we're going to know what those instructions are. We have to read Srila Prabhupada's books. And if we do so, then we will be constantly associating with Srila Prabhupada. We'll be constantly hearing his purports. We'll be constantly getting the deeper, 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 deeper understanding that we need as we progress. As we progress in Krishna consciousness, I don't need to know the things that I knew 20 years ago when I joined. Certain things then affected me deeply. Now other things affect me deeply because we do make advancement. There is a slight advancement for me, more for others. And so the knowledge is such that it doesn't matter how many times you reread it, it still affects you for whatever level of advancement you're at. Uttama, topmost devotees, still read Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita because they get the things in it that nourish them, that nourishes their bhakti, that nourishes their intelligence so they won't make mistakes. So that we will make advancement, so we won't offend each other, we won't offend devotees, we'll become more committed to chanting, we'll become more committed to spreading the movement, we'll become more committed to reading. And I wanted to read a fascinating email that was sent out by Shivaram Swami. And it's fascinating because it talks about the Ghostananandis and the Bhajananandis and their competition, right? Is it better to spread Hare Krishna and to be out in the world and working very hard? Or is it better to just be recluse and stay in and just chant and concentrate on yourself? Be a reclusive practitioner. That's the Bhajananandis. The Bhajananandis, they want to just do bhajan. They want to be reclusive and stay in. They say, that's better, and they make arguments. So let me read what Shivaram Swami says. Jai Radhe Shyam. From Srila Prabhupada's teachings in Gaudiya history, it seems that there has always been a tension between two kinds of followers of Lord Chaitanya's mission. The preachers and the reclusive practitioners. These are known as Ghostananandis, the preachers, and Bhajananandi, reclusive practitioners, respectively. The debate between the two centers around how they realize the confidential essence of Lord Chaitanya's teachings, Vraj Bhakti, and the failings that each sees in the other's practice. Ghostananandis see that Bhajananandis neglect Lord Chaitanya's order to preach, and they take an exoteric, which means an external approach, to spontaneous devotion in practice, for which the vast majority of aspirants are ineligible. Therefore, such Bhajananandis are rightly labeled sahajas. Bhajan Anandis, on the other hand, argue that Gosan Anandis' preaching of Varnashram and refuting evolution are material activities. And the Gosan Anandis' practice of regulative devotional service leads them to Vaikuntha and not to Vraj. Both these charges show a lack of understanding of how to preach and how to elevate neophyte devotees to the realm of spontaneity. My purpose in writing the Krishna in Vrindavan series was to highlight to members of ISKCON that while preaching and regulated practice are the guidelines given us by our acharyas, they, our acharyas, also taught an esoteric approach, which means internal. Esoteric is internal. The esoteric approach to spontaneous service, which did not, as the Bhajan Anandi's exoteric practice, conflict with the preaching mission and its resultant influx of neophyte devotees. In this regard, Srila Prabhupada emphasized that as devotees' hearts become purified by service and practice, namely Nam Sankirtan, they will naturally remember Krishna. And by remembering Krishna, devotees will awaken their desire to serve him in the same mood as the Vraj Vasis. That is Vraj Bhakti. But if devotees do not read Srila Prabhupada's books or the books of other Vaishnavas, what will we remember? If devotees do not hear of Krishna's pastimes, his sweetness, his devotees' services, then how will we awaken a desire to serve Krishna in Vrindavan? Following Srila Prabhupada's order, I am trying to provide more reading material for devotees' remembrance and also trying to give the truths of Siddhanta and Ras that substantiate the understanding of the transcendental nature of Krishna's pastimes, associates, and their mutual shared love. However, if devotees do not take seriously the study of transcendental literature, if we only emphasize preaching as a means to perfection, then such devotees may well be confirming the Bhajan Anandis' false assessment of the path of the Gosan Anandis. Therefore, I request devotees not to neglect reading Srila Prabhupada's books, and if they have spare time, read the books like those made available by Lal Publications. That's Shivaram Swami's publications. Books are not meant to sit on shelves, but are meant to be read and thus awaken our desire to serve Krishna in the way that the Braj Basis do. Thank you. Yours in service, Shivaram Swami. Books are not meant to sit on shelves, but are meant to be read and thus awaken our desire to serve Krishna in the way that the Braj Basis do. So this was amazing to me. This is really the link, right? A great link between what we're doing and what the goal is. The ultimate goal is Braj Bhakti, right? Not just the bhakti of Vaikuntha, getting Vaikuntha awe and reverence, you know, understanding Lord Vishnu, taking a form like Lord Vishnu, getting the liberation of the Vaikunthas. No, it's more than that. We want to go beyond. We don't just want that, which is very wonderful. It's outside the material world, but we want Vraj. We want Vraj Bhakti. So it's so wonderful to see that, to understand that we are a preaching movement. We're Gosan Anandis. But the aspect of the Bhajan Anandis that they read, they chant, the preachers have to do that too, right? The preachers cannot just say, I'm just here to preach and I read enough to preach. No, they have to study Srila Prabhupada's books. So, the criticisms of the Bhajan Anandis that you're going out, you're not actually, let me read it exactly. They argue that you're going to miss out the spontaneous devotion. That spontaneous devotion isn't going to come up if you just preach. And that's refuted. That's refuted here. Because if you're thinking of Krishna, if you're reading Srila Prabhupada's books, Srila Prabhupada is going to give you, eventually, when you're ready, you have to go past being a neophyte. But when you're ready, you will get Braj Bhakti. And you have to do that by always hearing of Krishna's pastimes, of hearing of his sweetness, about his devotees' interaction, about how his devotees are serving Krishna. And that will awaken the desire to serve Krishna in Vrindavan. So very interesting. I thought I'd share that. And I'll wrap it up with just one last thing that I also got an email on. I received an email about this. And this was from His Holiness Giriraj Swami. His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj Ki Jai. So this was from Wednesday, May 16th. I was a little behind, so I was reading back. And this was at the beginning of Purushottam Mass. So this was the first day of Purushottam, and Maharaj had a real nice realization. So I want to share it with you. At one stage, this is His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj speaking. At one stage, on my evening japa walk yesterday. At one stage, on my evening japa walk yesterday. The first day of Purushottam, my mind became restless, which disturbed me a lot. His mind became restless, disturbed him a lot. And I didn't know what to do. Then suddenly within me, I heard my disciple Damodar's ringtone of Sripad Gaur Govinda Swami Maharaj forcefully preaching. Why are you unhappy? Because you are not surrendered. Surrender just now. Just now surrender and become happy, and there will be no more anxieties. That's the whole quote. I'll read the quote again. His Holiness Giriraj Swami, hearing his disciples ringtone of Srila Gaur Govinda Swami Maharaj, preaching forcefully, quote, why are you unhappy? Because you are not surrendered. Surrender just now. Just now surrender and become happy, and there will be no more anxieties. Close quote. Maharaj continues, I began to earnestly pray to Maharaj to help me, and I felt immediate relief. All the agitation was gone. All the agitation was gone, and my mind was peaceful. Then, sitting down, I chanted some of my best japa ever. I pray that Srila Gaur Govinda Swami Maharaj's mercy will be with me for the rest of the month and for all eternity. And of course, Maharaj prays that way because that was the beginning of Purushottam month, Purushottam Mass. And so, isn't that amazing to, the coincidences, the things that happen to us, they're actually not coincidences. Krishna's behind it. Krishna's pure devotee, His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj, had a moment of saying, his mind became restless. He became disturbed. He was feeling restless. He became disturbed. And what does Krishna do for his pure devotee? He sends him a message to make him focus, to calm him, to quell the restless mind. And it did that immediately for Maharaj because he's a pure devotee and he instantly conceptualizes it and accepts it. Oh yes, you know, for us, we got to hear this more again and again and again and again. But Krishna is doing this for us. And in the same way that Krishna did this for Maharaj on his walk, Maharaj shares it with us. And as guru, he instructs us, this is something that Krishna did for me. I'm going to share it with you to help you. Surrender now. Surrender just now. Just now surrender and become happy. Become happy. Why are you unhappy? Because you are not surrendered. Surrender just now. Just now surrender and become happy. And there will be no more anxieties. Is it really that simple? Yes. It really is that simple. Now, you still have to deal with your problems in life. They don't go away. But when you surrender, in that moment, you do a little moment of surrender. Krishna helps you. Krishna is happy, so you become happy. And Krishna helps you to understand, oh, here's how I can deal with this problem. Here's how I can deal with this anxiety. First of all, banish the anxiety because it doesn't do any good. It's no use being an anxiety. You should face piles of trials with smiles, right? You should face the world's difficulties, your difficulties in the world, with smiles, with happiness. What? How can I be happy if I have all these problems? Because Krishna is going to help you. If you remember the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even difficult things become easy. Even difficult, impossible things become easy if you remember, always remember the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's what it means to be surrendered. Remember, think of Krishna all the time. Never forget him. Surrender to that. Surrender to the concept, to the order. I must think of Krishna all the time. That's what you surrender. That's what surrender is. Surrender to the order of the spiritual master. Chant Hare Krishna. Follow the principles. Surrender to only eating Krishna prasad. To surrender to only associating with devotees intimately. Surrender to your mind being controlled by doing all these things. And to not letting your mind take over and run off with you. Like a horse, like you're in a carriage and a horse has gone mad and taken off and you have no reins for that horse and you're riding on the cart. You don't know where the horse is going to go. He's going to crash into something eventually. It is terrifying, terrifying to let the mind run away with you. Don't let the mind run away with you. That's surrender. That's what surrender does for you. That's what surrender does for us. It will give us the ability to control the mind. And so the mind won't run away with us and make us do things we don't want to do that we know are against our best interest, but we can't help it. Sorry, Krishna, I can't help it. Again, no, we have to do these things to control our mind, and because it's not making us happy. Letting the mind run off with us and going to do things that the mind tells us to do does not make us happy. We're not happy. It never makes us happy. It never made us happy, ever. Nothing we ever did made us happy the way Krishna consciousness made us happy. And we know it. That's why we stick with it. That's why we're still listening. That's why we're chanting and reading and we surrender to the spiritual master. And sometimes for a devotee like me, we get stuck. How do we get unstuck? By surrendering. Every minute, every day, remembering these pastimes, remembering what we've been told by our spiritual masters. Excuse me. Just surrender now. Just now. Right now. Right now. Surrender and be happy. Remember what Krishna, who Krishna is, and what he's going to do for you. What he has already done for you. Where would you be without Krishna? Where would you be without love? Where would you be without the love of Krishna? Without the love of your parents, the love of your friends, the love of the devotees, the love of your spiritual master, your best friend. Where would we be without that? So in remembering that, we go forward in happiness. We go forward doing things nicely without criticizing each other, without seeing the faults of each other. Trying less to see the faults of each other, right? That's what I need to do. So those are some thoughts that I had and some things that passed through me yesterday. I thought I'd share them. I hope they were applicable. And okay, and it was kind of a, so there it is. So, do we have any comments, questions? It's a little bit over time. Breakfast is waiting, so we'll go. We'll close up the class. Thanks for being here. Sam, thanks for your nice answers. You did good. Nice job. And everybody that's here, thank you for being here. Thanks for listening. If you're listening in online, thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Yeah.